Thank you, guys. Take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 1. The Christmas story, of course, is a story of sovereignty. It is a story of grace, hope, joy, and love. And it seems like every single page where you find the Christmas event, you see the sovereignty of God saturated on those pages. God is literally orchestrating the events of human history. He is manipulating them so that every part of the Christmas story works out exactly as He had planned, exactly as it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And God designed all of this whenever you beyond, in eons past, before anything was ever created. I mean, the Christmas story, whenever you look at it, it screams out God's love for us. It screams out grace because God was under no obligation whatsoever to send a Savior into the world. God could have just as easily allowed every one of us to die in our sins and to have been separated from Him from all of eternity, and not a single attribute would have been compromised in the least bit. God is indeed, as Pastor Ben said, a good God, a gracious God, a loving God. We see it in the Christmas story. We've been saying over the course of the last few weeks, ever since we began our series of Advent, that we can become so familiar with the story that sometimes it can lose its sense of wonder and awe. And we are praying this year, as we make our way through Advent, that God would renew a sense of awe. Bring that wonder back into the Christmas experience in our own lives. And with that in mind, I want you to look at Matthew beginning in verse 18, chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we once again look at this extremely familiar story, I pray, Father, that You would help me to preach this message. I admit my human limitations, and so Holy Spirit, I pray that You will give me unction, that You will fill me, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would just explode upon our hearts in a renewed, refreshing way, bringing back the wonder and the awe that is behind the Christmas story. So looking to You for divine help, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we looked at the Christmas story from Mary's perspective, if you will. We looked at the Gospel of Luke and how an angel had come to this very young teenage girl and gave her some news that in all likelihood, it just blew her mind. I mean, I'm sure that Mary wasn't expecting anything like that. And then for this angel, Gabriel, to appear to her and say, "Mary, you're going to have a baby. And this baby is none other than the Son of the living God." And the angel said, "Listen, this baby is going to be the Savior." And Mary cherished all of these things. She pondered them in her heart. Today we're going to be looking at the Christmas story from the perspective of Joseph, if you will. I mean, understand, yes, God handpicked Mary to be the mother of His Son, Jesus. But He also handpicked Joseph to be the adopted father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing story in and of itself. As we think about those things surrounding the perspective of Joseph, I want to bring out a couple of things. Number one, the marvel of a shocking discovery. The marvel of a shocking discovery. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth." Stop right there. That word birth. You know what that word is in the Greek language? It is the word Genesis, believe it or not. It is Genesis. You understand the significance of that? Genesis, that reminds us of the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, Genesis. This is a beginning. Now understand, this is not the beginning of Jesus. This is not the beginning of the second member of the Trinity. This is not the beginning of Jesus Christ. No, this is the beginning of the incarnation. And the indication here is that the Holy Spirit is creating in the womb of Mary a supernatural act of bringing cells together, putting God and man together, putting God into flesh. That's a marvelous thought. So the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, this is key, before they came together, before they ever had any relation, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now you have heard it said that there are times whenever one chapter of your life will come to a close only for a new chapter to open. And we understand what that means. There are seasons in life. One season will come to a close and another one will open up. I mean, for instance, whenever you graduate from high school, that is one chapter that is coming to a close in your life. It is the chapter that has to do with your public education, and a new chapter is about to open up. Now you're either going to continue your education or you're going to go right into the workforce. You take marriage. Marriage is the closing of one chapter, a chapter of singleness, and you're going to begin a new chapter of togetherness with another person, what is to be for life. Another chapter is whenever you have children, and I will never ever forget the time whenever I came home from work one day, and Kathy says, "I've got good news for you." And I said, "Good, I need some." She says, "I'm pregnant." And I knew right then, things were going to be different. Yes. Think about this. Here you have had a period of childlessness, and now your life is going to start with one. 2 years later, Kathy tells me the same news again. 2 years later, I come in, she tells me the news again. I was afraid to go home and ask what's new. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And life was not the same. I mean, from the very beginning. I mean, the morning sickness, right? I mean, wow. The nauseousness, the going, rushing to the bathroom and hugging the, hurling. And I'm just... Our first visit to the doctor's office, whenever we got through, the doctor said, "Do you have any questions?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do. How long is this morning sickness going to last?" And he said, "Usually through the first trimester." I said, "Oh, my gosh. Now, what about Kathy?" Some of y'all are going to get that here in just a second. And then we went through something called natural childbirth. It's natural. It really is. Went through Lamaze classes and learned all this breathing stuff. And then finally the day came. And we go into, actually the room that we were in was the delivery room. And it was getting time. And you know, I kept thinking about, okay, all of those exercises we did in the Lamaze classes, all of that breathing. Let me tell you something. That breathing did nothing for me. I don't know what it did for Kathy, but it didn't do anything for me, right? And then one of the most amazing things, what God did. Oh, it still takes my breath away to think about it. I mean, to witness the birth of your child. Joseph's life was beginning a new chapter whenever he was betrothed to Mary. But he never dreamed that the other chapter was going to begin sooner than what he thought, the chapter with a child. That was completely off of his radar at that particular time. Guys, betrothal is extremely important because it is like engagement on steroids. Betrothal involves the couple promising one another to each other, and it's done before witnesses. Betrothal was as binding as marriage, even though it would be up to a year before they actually came together in a formal ceremony and then consummated the marriage. In other words, it was so binding that the only way that you could get out of a betrothal was either by death or by a divorce. It was that strong. And during the process of betrothal, usually the female would go home with the parents, and the young man, he would go home with his parents. And during that span of time, he would be getting everything ready for he and his wife. As a matter of fact, they are called husband and wife during the betrothal period. So it's really important. And this contract, this betrothal between this man and this woman is so binding that they're not allowed to come together until after that formal ceremony. Now, can you imagine how excited Joseph must have been? Can you imagine in your mind? I mean, he is anticipating the time whenever he's going to be able to finally spend the rest of his life with this woman that he loves. Can you imagine as he is preparing a home? Can you imagine as he is making plans for the future what his visions are going to be? Can you imagine the dreams that he had for himself and Mary and everything that goes along with that? What about the plans that he had? And then all of a sudden, Joseph's dreams with Mary were crushed under the shocking news of scandal. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. And he knows that he is not the father because it explicitly says in verse 18, before they came together, she was found with child. So they had not been together romantically. He knew that baby was not his. Can you imagine what that did to Joseph? Well, that brings me to my second point, the marvel of Joseph's decision. Verse 19. Says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now notice that Matthew says that he was a just man. The word just is translated some 33 times as righteous in the New Testament. The clear indication here is that Joseph was one who observed the law. He would do so faithfully. He would do so rigorously. Here was a man who believed in God, wanted to live his life faithful to God. He wanted to live according to God's word. And now he is faced with this dilemma. And what a dilemma. Because you realize that the law says that Mary could be put to death? What it says. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23. Here the word of God says, if there is a betrothed virgin, that like Mary, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, and that's what everybody would have assumed, right? I mean, that everybody, she was going to be the gossip of the town. We talked about that last week, how everybody was just going to make an assumption here. And it says here, if that be the case, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. So that is one option that Joseph was facing here. The other was for him to divorce her. And here's the amazing thing. He chose not to make a public spectacle out of Mary. Joseph knew the difficulty that she was going to face in the midst of this scandal. And you know what? He desired to show grace by his actions. How else could you describe it other than grace? I mean, most people would not respond in that way. They wouldn't respond to the kind of news that Joseph had in a gracious way. As a matter of fact, most people, I would say, in our day and time, if someone were to hurt them as much as Mary must have hurt Joseph, listen, they want to punish them. They want to get back at them. They don't want to show no grace. They don't want to show any mercy. They don't want to show any pity. Listen, all they want to do is they want to make sure that they pay for their sin and pay for what they did to me. But you know, that's not what he did, is it? You know, in a way, Joseph reminds us of Jesus. I mean, think about it, how much we had sinned against him, committing cosmic treason against the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Grace. Joseph initially decided that he was going to take that second option. He was going to divorce her quietly. Which brings me to my third point, the marvel of divine discovery. Look at verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Now right there, Matthew is making sure that he is connecting Jesus to the lineage of King David. That's very important. Right? We saw last week. Listen, those who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were against him, one of the very first things they're going to do is they're going to check his lineage. Anybody who comes up and begins to indicate that they are the long-awaited Messiah, one of the first things they're going to do is check his lineage. Is he in the line of David? And Matthew makes sure that we understand that. Now understand this also. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ was not the biological son of Joseph, he was legally in that line because Joseph is going to adopt. And adoption in this particular day and time, any child that is adopted into a family has all the legal rights as a biologically born child. So here's what Joseph's lineage does. It legally places Christ into the lineage of David. Mary's lineage genealogically places him in the line of King David. So that was huge. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here's Joseph thinking that he's only got two options. Either have her stoned, have her killed, or quietly divorce her. But then God gives him a third option. Joseph, marry her. And Joseph discovers God's plan. Have you ever wondered what it must have been like when Mary was trying to explain that? I mean, what does Mary do? I mean, you know, she goes to spend some time with her cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, right? And so after this visit, whenever she comes back and she comes up to Joseph, guys, by then it's probably pretty apparent what's going on here. And can you imagine Mary trying to describe to Joseph what's going on, trying to explain? Can you imagine Mary trying to tell Joseph, now Joseph, listen, I know what you're thinking. And maybe Joseph, how could you do this? And Mary said, well, really, I didn't do this. Whose is it? Well, you're not going to believe me if I tell you. And she goes, this angel appeared to me and said that I was going to have the Son of the living God. I'm going to have a baby, yes, but he is going to be God. He's going to be the Savior of the world. What do you think Joseph thought whenever Mary was trying? What would you think? 2 weeks ago, I watched Christmas show called The Christmas Chronicles. It's a story about a little yeah, you've seen it too. Yeah, a little girl and her older brother, they, you know, set up this trap to try to catch him on video, and sure enough, he comes into the house. They know he's been there, but before, I mean, really, man, he jets out of there so fast, and what they do is they grab their camera and they run out into the back alley, and floating up in the air is this sleigh and all these reindeer, and what do? She climbs up the telephone pole and jumps in the back of the sleigh, and, well, so does the older brother. Santa finally comes back. They take off. They're flying, right? And the little girl looks up wide-eyed and taps Santa on the shoulder, scares the bejeebies out of him. They're all scared to death. As a matter of fact, Santa pulls back on the reins. The reindeer go like this. The magic bag of toys falls out. His magic hat flies off. The reindeer dive down, hit a water tower, go down into the snow. All of the reindeer scatter, and the sleigh is broken. Santa gets up. Everybody's okay. And the rest of the show is about these three going and trying to save Christmas. The young girl, she's given the task of going and rounding up all the reindeer. Santa and the older brother, they are going to try to find the magic bag of all the presents. Somehow, now you're going to have to watch the movie, somehow they end up in a stolen Dodge. A Dodge Charger, as a matter of fact. And they get stopped by the police. Now picture this in your mind. Here's these two police officers. Here's this young man, and here's Santa, and Kurt does a great job, Kurt Russell. And he is trying to explain to these two cops, guys, this is Santa. And they're going, yeah, right. No, really. I mean, we're going to try to get some elves here to fix the sleigh. My sister's rounding up all the reindeer. We're trying to find his magic bag of presents. Yeah, right. And so what do you think those two officers thought about the young man? You are a loon. You're as crazy as they come. Guys, let's stop for just a moment, and let's just think about how we try to explain the true meaning of Christmas to perhaps people who really don't know what it's about. What if you were speaking to someone who just really doesn't have a church back, really don't, and there's more and more people, guys, that really don't understand the true meaning of Christmas, and just think about the audacious claims that we make. I mean, come on. The story we're asking people to believe is, hey, look, there's a supernatural heavenly being that just, you know, comes up in front of this young girl and this young man on another occasion, and this particular angel says that they're going to become pregnant, and yet they are a virgin. We're asking them to believe that the baby that is born is going to save people from their sins. We're saying that this baby that is going to be born, this baby is none other than God himself, God in the flesh. Now in the Christmas Chronicles, there was some pretty amazing, let me just use the term loosely, supernatural things that helped some cops come to a point of belief. Well, guys, there was some supernatural things that came about that helped Joseph believe. And that would be the angel appearing to him, right? And here's the thing, church. The truth of the matter is that all of the remarkable events surrounding the Christmas story, I'm telling you, you're not going to believe it unless it's revealed to you by God. The Holy Spirit of God has to reveal these things to us. And the same was true of Joseph. The only way that Joseph was really going to believe this truth about Mary's pregnancy and everything that she was trying to explain to him had to come by divine revelation, and it did through an angel, right? He disclosed to Joseph what he was doing and that Joseph was a part of his plan. So he sent the angel, and he tells Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid. Now, why would Joseph be afraid? Well, for one thing, the Bible indicates that nearly every time that an angel appears, people are afraid, and the angel has to say, don't be afraid. But the other thing is, if Joseph is to marry Mary, think about it. That would implicate him in participating in a sin. In other words, if he was to go ahead and marry, it would be like saying, okay, so maybe, well, people would be just assuming that the two had relations before the formal wedding ceremony occurred. Or this idiot is marrying a girl that was impregnated by somebody else. I mean, just think, we talked about some of the things that Mary went through, but what about Joseph as well? And what we need to remember is that all of this is by God's sovereign design. And here's the thing. Boy, it doesn't look like very much of it's going to be easy. God tells Mary and God tells Joseph, this is what I want you to do. This is what's going to happen. And they recognize, immediately they know this is not going to be. God is, you know, closing one chapter and opening this brand new chapter of our lives. And it's not going to, man, it's not going to be easy. And I'm sure that at first Joseph is thinking, what am I getting myself into? What's happening here? Well, the angel discloses to Joseph that he is to name the baby Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is going to save sinners. The Hebrew word Joshua is the equivalent of the name Jesus in the New Testament. And both of those names means Yahweh saves, God saves. And so the baby is going to be the long-awaited Savior. The angel also informs Joseph that this baby will fulfill an Old Testament prophecy. An Old Testament prophecy that we find in Isaiah, where it says that he'll be called Emmanuel, and the name Emmanuel means God with us. In other words, the angel is explicitly telling us that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is the God-man, fully God and fully man. And is this not one of the most remarkable, the hypostatic union of Christ, a fancy way of saying the dual nature of Jesus. I mean, what is that? That gives me a headache trying to figure that. I can't figure that out. But I do know he's fully God He is fully man. That's amazing. That's amazing. The most remarkable thought is to think that God was willing to put on human flesh, incarnation, and come and live as one of us. The marvel of Joseph's dedication, my last point. The marvel of Joseph's dedication, verse 24. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph revealed his dedication to the Lord by obeying the message from God. He embraced God's new chapter in his life. In spite of the hardships, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of everything that he was going to have to face. I mean, people would always look upon him and Mary, you know, with a sense of scandal. They would always be talking behind their backs. They would be the subject of gossip at Dairy Queen. I mean, people would be spreading malicious things about them. Family and friends probably tried to convince Joseph, Joseph, don't marry this girl. How can you marry this girl? And Joseph says, but you don't understand. The Holy Spirit is behind, God's behind all of this. It's going to be the Messiah. Do you know how difficult that would be for his family and his friends? And they're trying to say, Joseph, don't marry a girl like that. And yet when the child was born, Joseph took the next step of faith and he named the child Jesus, just as he had been commanded by the angel. As far as we know, Joseph never faltered as he perfectly carried out the commands of God for his life. In spite of the fact that he had been called upon to believe the impossible and to do the incredible, he never wavered. He did what the Lord told him to do. Man, what a testimony, huh? Through all of this, through everything that God did, through that angel with Mary, and through the angel with Joseph, them clearly understanding and realizing all the difficulties and hardships they're going to have to face, God is simply saying this, trust me. Trust me. So the matter and the issue was going to be, will they trust him? Will they follow him even though the pathway is going to be difficult? As we move through life, we've already discovered that the Lord has a plan to use us for his glory. We've also learned that his plan may be very difficult to carry out. There may be some rough times along the way. As a matter of fact, I would dare say that there are people here in this room and those who are watching, I would dare say there are some people in whom God is closing a chapter. And it's not exactly the way that you would have had this particular chapter in your life closed. In other words, there are things that are happening that is blowing your mind. There are things that you just don't get. You don't understand, because coming along with that closing of this particular chapter, it's bringing pain, it's bringing hurt, it's difficult, it's hard, it's trial and tribulation. And quite frankly, you really don't know what God is doing. But I believe that the same God who is asking Mary and Joseph to trust him, he's asking of you, trust me. I'll bring a close to this particular chapter, but wait till you get a load of the chapter I'm going to open up. Real faith says, on the surface, this looks like the worst thing that I've ever faced. Still, I know God has gone ahead of me and that he has planned the path that I'm going to take. Therefore, I'll not look to the right or to the left, but I will faithfully place my feet in the footprints that he's already left in front of me. I will follow him wherever he sends me. I will not turn back in spite of what I may face. It may look like a nightmare at this moment, but I know that his plan is the best plan, that he will take this tragedy. He's going to turn it into triumph. Therefore, I say, here am I, Lord, send me. And the question is, what will you do when your dreams turn to nightmares? Trust God. Paul David Tripp states in his devotional, by the way, the devotional that we handed out for Christmas, I've really enjoyed that. This is what he said on one of the days, and I quote, "God regularly takes his children places they never would have planned to go in order to produce in and through them things they never could have produced on their own." Look, listen to that again. God regularly takes his children places they never would have planned to go in order to produce in and through them things they never could have produced on their own. In those difficult times, we are tempted to think that God's grace has passed us by. But in reality, God's grace is at work, just not in the way we expect. Trust him. Well, Joseph came to the conclusion that the baby was indeed the long-awaited Savior and very God. He trusted God, and God came through. He understood that God sent Jesus into the world to save people from their sins. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul simply states, "For the wages of sin is death." A wage is something that you earn. It is something that you deserve, right? And we understand, do we not, believer, that every single one of us, we have earned due to our rebellion, due to breaking God's law, breaking his commandments, rebelling against him, being glory thieves. We know what we deserve. We deserve death. And death here means more than just physical death. I mean, this death is a separation. Death is a separation. Physical death for us is a separation of the spirit from the body. Eternal death is separation from God. And that's what we deserve. That is what we have earned due to the sin in our life. But here's the good news of the gospel. This is the reason why Jesus came. And this is why Christmas is so exciting for us. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent him so that he would live the life we could never live, so that he could pay for our sins on the cross. That whenever we trust and believe in what Christ has done on the cross, then God justifies us. That means he declares us not guilty, and then he charges to our account the righteousness of Jesus, so that whenever we stand before God, listen, Jesus sees us as every bit as righteous as Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what Christmas is about the Savior coming into the world. So let us pray. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to speak to us as believers just for a moment before the worship team leads us in our last worship song. And believer, are you a believer? Are you a believer who has just gotten so caught up in the busyness, the rushing around, the commercialization of Christmas, that somehow you have lost that sense of awe and wonder over the story? I want to ask you, could you be facing a time in your life right now when God is bringing a particular chapter of your life to a close and opening up a new chapter, and quite frankly, you don't understand what God is doing, and that there has been difficulties, very maybe not exactly like what Joseph and Mary had to suffer whenever God ended one chapter and began another in their lives, but nevertheless, whatever it might be, you are facing a very confusing time in your life. You are facing a time of struggle. You are facing a time, and it's creating angst. It's creating anxiety deep down inside of you. Trust God. Perhaps today is a day whenever you need to come before God, and this altar is going to be open. And you just simply cry out to God, "God, help me to trust you. I don't understand exactly what you're doing, but I want to trust you. I want to follow you." And then perhaps there's someone here this morning and you're just not exactly sure what all of this gospel stuff is that we've been talking about. what it means for Jesus to be your Savior. And my prayer is that God would create enough curiosity in your heart that you'd want to come and learn more about what that means. Pastor Darren and myself will be up here to my right. We'd love the opportunity to open up the Word of God and show you, to unpack for you what it means. What it means to be a believer, what that looks like. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do pray for us as believers. I know personally, Lord God, what it is to fight the temptation, to let the temptation of the busyness of this season to wear me down. And I don't want that. I want to know the joy of the season that is behind God coming in the flesh. Heavenly Father, I want to walk daily in absolute wonder and awe of how you put on human flesh and came and walked among us. I want to be stunned by the Christmas story afresh and anew. Heavenly Father, no matter what comes my way in this life, and I know I can't do this on my own, but I can only do it through your help. Help me to trust you. Help me to follow you wherever you lead, whatever you bring into my life. Help me to trust you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll respond to the message that we've heard this morning in a way that will honor you and glorify you. We love you and we thank you for your great, great gift of Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. So let's stand. Pastor Darren and myself will be up here if you'd like for us to pray with you about